but we have to wait a moment for this train to pass by.
This has been an exceedingly rare event south of Medford for several years now. The Central Oregon and Pacific Railroad, operator of the historic Siskiyou line, embargoed the portion over the Siskiyous from Oregon to California, roughly paralleling Interstate 5. That was nearly a decade ago. Now, with new owners and some public money, freight trains leaving Medford will go somewhere besides north toward Eugene. We have a couple of guests with us from the current parent railroad. That's the Genesee and Wyoming Railroad. Carla Grollo is a public information officer. Carla, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having us this morning.
It's good to have you here. Don Seil is here from operations as well. Good to have you, Don.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be with you.
And we have a representative with us as well from Oregon Operation Lifesaver, Inc. This is a lot about grade crossing safety. Claudia Howells is the state coordinator and executive director. Claudia, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice to be here.
All right. So let's start with the Genesee and Wyoming Railroad people. Tell us about your company. This is the third owner that we count since Southern Pacific spun the line off 2 decades ago.
Right. Well, we're so excited about this reopening of our Central Oregon and Pacific Railroad, opening up that 95 miles of track between Ashland and Weed, California. We had a nice celebration earlier in the week, and we're just so very excited to open up this historic line.
Don Seil, this is a tough line to run on a good day by railroad standards. What are some of the challenges of the Siskiyou line?
Well, the challenges for the Siskiyou line are the steep grades and the curvature of the track. But as you said, you know, the railroad's been operating since the late 1800s over the railroad, and we're looking forward to operating it in a very safe and efficient manner to service our customers.
Now, I understand this was not even particularly great engineering back in 1887 when the line was completed with a spike ceremony in Ashland. Was it just not even quite up to snuff for that time?
Well, they took the most efficient route over the top of the grade. They could have gone a long meandering route, the old Oregon railroad before them had mapped out, but they went directly over the top of the Siskiyou. So it's something that's very manageable, and one of the things that Genesee and Wyoming is focused on is safety, and we have spent a lot of effort to ensure that the railroad will be operated in a very safe and efficient way.
Now, there have been some additional issues in the recent history of the Siskiyou line. I know there was some work to repair Tunnel 13. Right at the crest of the Siskiyous, which for longtime residents of the area was where one of the country's last attempted train robberies was held. And for the folks who are familiar with that specific area, this is essentially right under where Colstein Road comes off of the Mount Ashland Road. But Tunnel 13 is right under that. What were the issues you had with the tunnel?
On Tunnel 13, that was several years ago. And I wasn't here at the time, but there was structural issues with the tunnel that they had to refurbish, and there was a fire. So those things were taken care of. We just, with this Tiger funding, money was allocated for the tunnel repairs of Tunnel 14, which is just a little bit to the north of Tunnel 13, which is the one, as you mentioned, famous for one of the last train robberies in the United States.
All right, so
we were really fortunate, Jeff, with the Tiger grant that we had, which was over $7 million of federal funding. We were able to make some significant repairs to the tunnel, adding new steel fiber reinforced shotcrete, bolt supports lined with 10% sets, installed new drainage system, and replaced track. We significantly replaced rail in the area, nearly 50,000 linear feet of continuously welded rail. We replaced 42,000 railroad ties and resurfaced about 60 miles in Oregon and California, adding about 21,000 tons of rail ballast. And of course, we made repairs to about 28 existing bridge decks. So this funding, which is a great example of public-private partnerships with the federal funding, and then we had Oregon Department of Transportation support, as well as Douglas and Jackson counties were a great support, not to mention our own private sector match from ourselves and customers. It just it allowed us to really do the work that we needed to do to this line and put it back in service to connect our customers to the National Freight Rail Network.
So the Tiger Grant is a federal grant, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and so ultimately what happened is the railroad had to put up 25% of the project, and the project is somewhere north of $12 million, isn't it?
That's correct. I don't have the specific numbers, but correct. It's a significant investment and a significant partnership between federal, state, you know, not only Oregon, but California. And again, as I mentioned, both Douglas and Jackson counties and Oregon DOT, all significant players to bring this project to light.
We're talking about the reopening of the Siskiyou line for freight over the Siskiyou. So the line south of Ashland is active again all the way to Weed or Black Butte, which is the name of the junction with the Union Pacific Railroad. Siskiyou line historically was the original main line up the I-5 corridor, but then Southern Pacific, the parent company, went to the east through Klamath Falls, which is why Amtrak goes through there still. That happened in the 1920s. We're talking to Carla Grolow and Don Seil at the Genesee and Wyoming Railroad, the owners of the Central Oregon and Pacific Railroad. And we also have on the line Claudia Howells from Oregon Operation Lifesaver, Inc. You can join us at 800-838-3760 with questions or comments on this railroad topic, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Claudia Howells, what is Operation Lifesaver?
Operation Lifesaver is a program that has one mission, and that's to keep people safe around trains and train tracks.
Is the primary concern then grade crossing safety where the roads cross the tracks?
I would say half of our concern is grade crossing safety, and the other half is actually trespassing abatement to keep people off of railroad tracks because in Oregon, as well as nationwide, most of the fatalities now occur with people who are on railroad tracks walking, not at crossings.
I notice when I read the Oregonian, there's a fair number of reports out of the Portland area about people walking on the tracks, not paying attention to train horns, and getting hit by the trains. It does seem to happen a bit more in metro areas, and that must be an ongoing source of issue for you to focus on.
Well, you know, when you say it's in metro areas, I think that's because what you're saying is some of the interaction between the public and the Portland light rail system. What we actually see statewide is that, you know, we have at least an equal number on the rural freight system. So it's a little bit of both. So the problem is not just in urban areas.
When a line has been dormant, as this one has been since 2008, does that create some special issues for you in getting people used to the idea of trains being on the tracks again?
Well, I think certainly there's a little more of a challenge because people have become complacent. They aren't expecting any trains. And as Carla was talking about, you know, the new track is going to be welded, which makes it much quieter. So, you know, it's important for us to get the word out and to make sure people are paying attention when they cross the railroad track and that they don't use it for, you know, recreation or transportation, walking from one place to another.
For either Carla or Don from Genesee and Wyoming, it seems like the company could just as easily have taken Corp as it was with the line embargoed. Why push for the line reopening?
Well, we see a lot of potential in this, certainly. We have high hopes for this line. And, you know, Genesee and Wyoming is a company that's been in the business for more than 100 years doing railroad business. We see the potential. We're really excited about the line. There's a lot of interest. And our job is, as we said, safety is our first priority, so making the necessary upgrades and repairs. The grant came along. It was a great opportunity, a great partnership. The community around us was very supportive. You know, this gives those local businesses another option for transportation, another mode option. And certainly we were interested in that as well. It's not that often that you hear of a line coming back in service. You know, usually it's the opposite. So we're just really excited about this line and the potential for it. You know, and as Claudia mentioned, folks have been used to the line being closed for some time now, and we just want to remind folks that, you know, although we at this point expect about 2 trains a day during the week, unlike passenger service, freight rail does not have a set schedule. It's based on customer needs. And so folks that are living and working and commuting around our system just need to expect a train at any time. And, you know, the best way to stay safe is to stay off the track.
Now, I know folks from Northern Oregon would recognize the locomotives of Corp right away because they're in the same orange colors that have been applied to other Genesee and Wyoming properties like the Willamette and Pacific and the Portland and Western. How far flung is the Genesee and Wyoming system in number of states and actually foreign countries too, correct?
Well, you're right. We have about 120 freight railroads worldwide. We have about 7,500 employees and more than 2,500 customers. We're here in the U.S. and in 41 states. We're in Canada. Additionally, you know, we're in Australia as well as Europe. So we're a substantial short line railroad company, but that is our focus. Our business focus is moving freight, and that's what we do. And we're very pleased about the reopening of the Siskiyou line. It's a very important part of our business, and we're just so happy that we've had the local county, state, and federal support of this project.
To the point about the business part, I imagine there have been some meetings with individual shippers and shipper groups to discuss their concerns and desires. I mean, those, I would think, would have had to actually predate applying for the grant.
Oh, sure. You know, there's always interest in businesses to have many options, right? So having another mode of transportation option to connect them not only into California, but connecting them to the national freight rail network. You know, we interchange with the class one, so it really opens up a lot of options for the local businesses to open their product up to, you know, the national network. So there, I think there's a lot of excitement around that and a lot of potential.
Okay, when we talk class ones, we're talking the big railroads, like the Union Pacific, with which the Siskiyou line connects at both ends. We are talking about the reopening of the Siskiyou line with the folks in the Genesee and Wyoming Railroad, which is the parent company to the Central Oregon and Pacific. The operators of the line, Carla Grolo, you've been hearing, is the public information officer. Don Seil in operations is with us as well. And we have from Oregon Operation Lifesaver, Claudia Howells, the state coordinator and executive director. You can join the conversation on the exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Claudia, walk us into the Operation Lifesaver practice here when a line is reopening like this. I mean, what kind of meetings do you have with public safety agencies or anything like that to talk about the line going active again?
Well, much of what has been done so far has really been more involving the railroad, but we do have volunteers in Southern Oregon who have been out doing presentations, checking in with the school districts, making sure the school bus drivers are informed about what the changes are, you know, really kind of hitting our targeted audiences to make sure that people are aware of what's happening. I don't know if you were able to get to the event, but our trailer was at the event on Tuesday, and it will also be at the Medford Train Show in a couple of weeks.
All right, that's Thanksgiving weekend, yes.
Yes.
Are there any particular crossings or areas of concern along the Siskiyou line that present greater issues than any others?
You know, I don't think so. You know, from my own observations in the area between Medford and, I guess, south of Ashland, you know, I think there is a concern. It's just that we see a lot of people walking on the right-of-way, mm-hmm. and that's a bigger concern than any of the crossings, which, you know, should be certainly up to snuff.
Does the Tiger Grant cover any actual improvements or fencing or crossing changes or anything like that that could be useful to Operation Lifesaver?
You'd have to ask Carla that question.
Okay.
Or Don.
Carla, Tiger Grant cover any safety improvements for the public, the not on the rail line public?
Well, I would say overall, it's the enhancements that we've been able to make have improved the safety and efficiency of the line. And to Claudia's earlier point about folks being on the tracks or on and around the tracks. You know, I didn't want this moment to pass that, you know, we have sort of this fascination with selfies and taking photos, and, you know, a lot of our young folks and have, you know, are a lot of distractions. So they're in love with the selfie taking, and just to really warn against that, and parents have that conversation with the kids, and Operation Lifesaver is available to go out. We do free presentations. All three of us, Claudia, myself, and Don, were presenters with Operation Lifesaver, as well as a lot of members of our employee base in the area. We will go out and talk to your group and educate as best as we can. But, you know, as I said, there's a lot of distractions with, you know, having music and earbuds in our ears and maybe not hearing the train movement. And the best bet really is just to stay off the tracks, because not only is it illegal, it's dangerous. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of things today. I also wanted to bring up the fact that this reopening of the line and this project, you know, brought 11 new jobs to the area, 11 family wage paying jobs. So this is truly a story of a good economic development as a result of a public-private partnership.
Revitalizing the Siskiyou Line, the railroad line, the subject matter here in the exchange, Carla Grolow and Don Seiler from the Genesee and Wyoming Railroad, the parent company. Claudia Howells is with Oregon Operation Lifesaver. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join the conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So, Don, we already heard two trains a day. About how big will the trains be, just in terms of length and locomotives and all that stuff?
Well, we're just starting off pretty small to begin with. They're going to be around 12 to 10 cars, somewhere in that. And that's probably where it'll stay for the short run. We're always open to expanding our customer base and always looking. You know, one of the things Genesee & Wyoming is totally focused on is customer service. And that's one of the things that drove this whole project, was the interest of the shippers to get this additional route. So yes, it's probably around 10 to 12 cars somewhere in there,
which is not a tremendous length for a freight train in an age when with distributed power units in the middle of the train and so forth, you can have freight trains that run close to a couple of miles here. So to 10 to 10 or 12 or 14 cars, not much. Is there a minimum break-even point for loads that'll help the train pay for itself?
You know, it's paying for itself. You know, one of the things that we do as a company is we look into things very deeply and make good financial decisions. And this is an operation that will pay for itself, and we're looking to build and make it better, grow the business. That creates jobs, makes a better economy. It's all good. This has been a real success story.
You know, those of us who have been around for 30 years, in my case, can remember when the Southern Pacific was operating the Siskiyou Line. And granted, the timber industry was a lot bigger then, but we're talking, you know, locomotives where there are five in the front and four in the middle of the train, and sometimes even a couple at the end of it. So we're not talking about anything quite on that scale. Have there been some lessons you've learned about operating this line from the three previous owners?
Well, the good news about Genesee & Wyoming is that we have a strong background in operating railroads, and that we've taken into account the information that's been provided by the Class 1s in this. We have our own training school in Jacksonville, Florida, that we put our engineers through simulator training. It's one of the world-class training centers. And we have simulated the Siskiyous and developed techniques to make sure that we do it safely.
There's a sense here. Let me ask a different question first. I want to talk to Claudia Howells about this part of it. Publicity and outreach. You mentioned going to schools and having the trailer out there. Any social media involved with Operation Lifesaver these days?
We do some Facebook. Our national organization, which operates out of Alexandria, Virginia, is more involved in Twitter feeds and Instagram. Their current campaign is actually aimed at professional photographers to encourage folks to not use railroad property as a setting for photographs.
I noticed a lot of glamour photography with railroad tracks in the background in recent years. So we want to give you guys the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I think heebie-jeebies is an understatement. And as I said, because of an increase in fatalities involving photographers and their subjects, that is our current focus at the national level. So I'm glad you brought that up because it is a growing problem, and we've had some really terrible things happen because of it.
For Carla or Don, we already got an email with the question that usually gets asked when we talk about railroads is, will there be any passenger trains?
Well, our business is the freight business, so at this time we don't see that happening, but hey, we're open to opportunities and discussions of that, but not at this time.
Will you allow other operators to operate their trains over the line? Will they be allowed to sign agreements with you to operate excursion trains? And we've had high iron.
Well, there's a lot of requirements required to do something like that, but we're open to discussing opportunities.
There's a sense, finally, Carla, of previous owners throwing up their hands on the Siskiyou line and, you know, finding it not profitable and giving up on it. So is there a clock here, a period by which this line has to prove itself to Genesee and Wyoming?
Well, you know, Genesee and Wyoming is committed. The business has been around since 1899. You know, we are in the short line business. And that's really what started the evolution of the short line railroads. You know, those lines that maybe weren't as successful as the class ones would like them to be. And a company like Genesee and Wyoming or the Corp come along and they pay that special care and attention to our customers and to our business partners and make it successful through safety and customer service. And we're committed to the line, we're committed to the Corp, and we're committed to being good corporate neighbors in
the
area.
So. All right. The Siskiyou line open for business again. Carla Grillo and Don Seil from Genesee in Wyoming. Claudia Howells from Operation Lifesaver. Thank you.